Welcome to episode number 37. Keep it moving.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I'm here with the full crew.
What up, what up?
We got Goose, Heck, Manny, and Gabe. And today we have a special guest, DJ Quentin Floyd.
What's up, world?
All right.
What's up, crew? What's up, Jimmy? Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. This is going to be a good one, man. Episode number 37, Keep It Moving. In this episode, we have special guest, father, and DJ Quentin Floyd. We discuss his business endeavors, the definition of success, tips for people operating or interested in small business, entrepreneur fathers, and the advice for the go-getter. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Yoko Ono and Zig Ziglar. All right, just to square things off, I want to give a definition from dictionary.com. And very appropriately, again, we define the word disc jockey, or the term. And they define it as a person who selects, plays, and announces records at a discotheque. So,
about correct.
You know, sometimes these definitions, I say this every, but it's sometimes they're so cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, especially for words that you pretty much, you know, you kind of get it and you could kind of, you know, mold it into, you know, whatever words you want. And then they use words like discotheque. Yeah.
What year are we in? Is this the definition from the 70s? Down.
This is the definition from the 70s, too, by the way. So, hasn't been updated.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so since we have Quentin Floyd with us, you know how we always kick it off with a story, but we're going to switch things up again because we are now on the move to molding and transforming this podcast into bigger and better things. Now that we have guests, we have the ability, thanks to Gabe for hooking this up, and thank you to Skype. Bunch of free plugs there, and now we have the ability to do this on a regular basis. And one of the first people that popped to mind for me was a good friend, Quentin Floyd. We did some business back in the day, mid-2000s, and we've kind of stayed connected ever since, geographically never near each other, but I guess on the same level when it came to mentality and stuff like that. And the internet brings people together very very easily nowadays. So with that being said, he was one of the first people on my mind once we got the guest thing. I know this is episode number 37, but this is only like our fourth guest. So the other ones were I didn't want to waste anyone's time, so I wanted to get a few you know, under our belt before we had, you know, we had a professional singer last week. This way we have a professional DJ. Wow. Although my brother is a professional barber, but when it comes to recording stuff, we wanted to get that stuff, you know, locked and loaded before we had you know, a very special guest to us, DJ Quentin Floyd. So Quentin, won't you tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got started in the DJ business, and where you are today?
Well, I am Quentin Floyd. That's my birthright name, and then I'm a DJ now, but definitely was not born a DJ. a lot of people don't know this. I'm a country boy, man, originally from Mississippi. Super country, and I always had a passion for music. So I was the band geek, trumpet, drums, keys, the whole nine yards, and then I always watched DJs. Like, I don't know, that's pretty cool. And then when I was like, 15, my mom took me to see from Philly, Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Nice. Wow.
When I saw when I saw Jeff, that was it. I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. But I was absolutely horrible. I couldn't do it. And then I, what happened next, man? I was dating this girl in church. I was dating this church girl. And then this minister comes in, and he's like, hey, man, I'm opening a radio station. I need a DJ. And I was like, oh, I know how to DJ. I didn't know how to DJ. So this guy, he comes to my hometown, buys a radio station. I go to meet him. He's like, what? You don't know how to DJ? He locks me in the radio station for 8 hours. He said, when I come back, you better know what you're doing. And that was it.
What? Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Is that a true story?
Crazy. Very true. Very true. Yeah. I started out in gospel radio. Gospel nice. Radio.
Wow. Because I could have sworn you really were born a DJ. that's interesting. Interesting. So how long has it been now since you started?
I'm a bit older than you guys. I mean, I turned 40 this year, but I started DJing when I was 17 at that radio station, and I've never stopped. Even when I was in the military doing all that presidential stuff, I was still DJing.
Nice. That's interesting. That's cool. How do you do that in the military, DJing? I mean, do they throw parties going on?
Yeah. You know, like we weren't doing the military stuff. I was always out in the D.C. trying to get myself a residency. You know, you got to get on the grind and keep it moving. Then whenever they had a military function, my boys knew I DJ. So I did a lot of free DJing in the military. Let that be known.
Well, that's good for experience, though, right? Yeah. I mean, larger crowds.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the biggest crowd you ever performed in front of? And do you call it a performance?
Oh, gosh, man. Yeah, I call it a performance. 5,000
wow.
people.
Whoa, wow. 5,000 people. Yeah, that's holy big. Smokes. Yeah. That's a lot
I
of
did,
people.
What was it?
I rocked out for a couple of people. I rocked out for the Obama girls. That was pretty cool.
Nice. That's cool.
I rocked out for Nicki Minaj.
Nice.
Jay-Z. That was, I never even saw Jay, man. It was just kind of like, we did this event. He released some stuff. He had DJs all over the nation. And then that's kind of like I got my buzz. I came in number two in the nation that year in sales when he launched his gold fragrance.
Wow. Nice.
My little spot in D.C. was rocking, you know. So, and then after that, everybody started emailing and calling and texting. I was like, oh, thank you, God.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So what was it, like a contest or something like that that you entered, or had they?
No, it was strictly business. He launched that new fragrance, Gold. This was, like, I guess, 6 years ago. Yeah. And then each city, he did New York, D.C., Atlanta, L.A. Everybody did a release at Macy's. And I had a contract at Macy's at the time. So because of my contract, I automatically got that date.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I said, what, Jay-Z? So, of course, one of my favorite artists, so I went extra hard. And then we did good in sales. Like, we sold, I want to say, $60,000 worth of fragrances in one day.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
But that's crazy.
That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, I see now 60 grand. Did they even have that much fragrances? Holy smokes.
that's crazy.
Me and my wife, it's 'tis the season, so we've been in and out of the mall and stuff like that. But every time we go into Macy's, it's funny. Yeah. My wife's favorite store, it's hysterical, is Boscov's, which I like. I there's nothing wrong with Boscov's, but Boscov's just reminds me of like an older, like my grandma, shopping at Boscov's. That's like a childhood memory of mine.
Wow.
So I just think of that. But that's funny. So
yeah,
Macy's always has a DJ, and actually one of our friends is a DJ, and he has the same thing. He has that contract, but I always thought it was fascinating that Macy's went above and beyond and has like a live person there, you know, spinning records and actually kind of like just it put us in a mood. It raised our energy level when we were shopping because we were kind of just like down and tired and it was like, oh man, we've been, you know, shopping till we drop. And literally Macy's, we're about to drop. And then we walked in, there's just upbeat music and we're like, yeah, this is awesome. This is great. Yeah. We're just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it, man. I absolutely loved it.
So how long did you do that?
I did Macy's for 3 years, but every year you have to, you know, renew your contract. So then that's where, like, our background came together with the business part. I think I was really strong at negotiating and making sure I got what I wanted, they got what they wanted. And then, you know, when it comes to results, I never asked about music or anything like that. I was like, well, what's your target sales goal? They'd be like, what? Like, what's your target sales goal? They're like, 10K. I said, we'll have it done by noon.
Wow.
So stuff like that is what got me. I don't really think it was the DJ. I think it was like the personality and the business mindset. That's what I really think it was.
Yeah.
So did you make any connections while you were doing that gig at Macy's? I find it fascinating because I feel like it's such a different thing because people are there for shopping and
but you can come across so many different types of people just there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Good point. Rotating crowds, man. I want to say I did Vince Camuto through Macy's, Rise Against Breast Cancer through Macy's, Parlux Fragrances. most of my celebrity events came from Macy's. You want to know where the Macy's contract came from, Jimmy Lee and Manny? When we were in business together,
yeah,
at one of those conferences we did.
Yeah.
I DJed one night, right?
Okay.
In DC, right? Uh-huh. And one of the ladies in the lobby was like, "You should call this lady from Macy's. I think you'd be great." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm in the business." And whatever. So, and then but I hit her up and then she was 100% legit. So it actually came from Macy's contract came from our old business back in the day.
Wow.
So everything happens for a reason, right?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I just realized that talking to you.
That's awesome.
So what man, I'm still fascinated by this Macy's thing because especially Macy's, it's kind of like the higher end department. Out of all the department stores, it's like the higher end one, right? I would think so.
I would say so, kind of.
I mean, well, you're comparing it to the other ones,
like
it is.
Nordstrom and stuff like that.
Well, there's Nordstrom's. Well,
I said the higher end, not the highest.
All right, well,
we got Sears and JCPenney's, and then, like, I don't know where they go shopping, but apparently.
You're not DJing Macy's anymore.
I didn't know. I thought that was just, like, a local thing that we saw, like, my buddy DJing at Macy's. I thought that was just, like, a thing that he caught and was at the right time. But I didn't know it was, like, they did it everywhere.
What? I don't understand. What is it? You guys are talking, and you guys get it, but what is it? I have no idea what you're talking about. When you say DJ,
like he's outside. He's outside.
Ones and twos.
He's outside playing music outside in front of the Macy's.
You're
in
a club.
Really?
At the Macy's,
yeah.
Yeah,
like at Oxford Valley, it's you know where the Sunglass Hut is in Oxford Valley, like where the Macy's.
So right out there,
right outside of Sunglass Hut, inside the Macy's, he's DJ. That's where DJ Arv was DJing right
so
there.
So I don't understand how you drove business. What was your main motive there? Obviously to keep people upbeat, happy. What you know, you talk about sales. How were you intertwined with that? I don't get it.
It's little like Manny. They'll literally give you a list. They'll be like, "All right, we're going to release this new Beyonce fragrance on Christmas Eve. We want to push these sales out." Like, "All right, well, what can we do?" They can hire anybody from a freaking magician to a DJ or to whatever. They select DJ. So if it's Jay-Z, I said, you know, and with Macy's, where your friend was set up by Sunglasses Hut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think like you guys, I was like, well, no, man, put me in the rockerwear section. It was like, why would we put you in the rockerwear section? I'm like, that's Jay-Z's line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, if you're shopping in rockerwear, so you're going to buy a Jay-Z hoodie, you're going to go get the Jay-Z cologne. So whenever you come close, I did a Jay-Z mix like from, you know, Reasonable Doubt all the way up to the new stuff. Nice. You know what I'm saying? So it's the Jay-Z mix.
Yeah.
And then you come to like, oh, dude, whenever you come up to ask for a DJ card, here, man, go get the new fragrance. And then they give you so much allotted funds to give stuff away. So you can do your own contests and Ravel. So I made people battle and dance and, you know.
That's cool. That's awesome.
You make it fun. And then, you know, they get their sales. You get paid beforehand. So the key is to get like that repeat. You know, like, okay, well, the next time you do a celebrity event, I want that one too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it does fall outside of the contract. But if you get the sales numbers met, they always bring you back. It's all about the numbers, you know.
When you said you had people battling, I instantly thought of my cousin Manny here because he's a freestyle battler. So I thought of that instantly once you said you had people battle each other. It's hilarious. So going from different institutions location wise as to where you were a DJ. What is an actual like a misconception of DJs that you kind of want to demolish right here and right now, if there is one? I'm not sure because obviously a barrier would be, you know, kind of like Manny didn't know that they did DJing in, you know, like a that kind of setting.
That were cool. People think we're cool. We're not cool. We're geeks, man. We got techie equipment. We got too much music. We got too much equipment. We know speakers. We're geeks, man. We're all geeks. Yeah. And then, so if you come up to a DJ, it's not like I'm like just chilling. I'm not chilling. I'm working. It's like, hey, man, what's up? So you go like, everybody know you got the headphones on, right? Till the guy comes up and you're mixing. You're like, 1 second. What's up, man? What do you need? And then the guy wants to have a conversation. Dude, I don't have time to talk. I got 3 minutes. That's the biggest misconception. Like, you have time to talk. Like, you don't really have time to talk.
That's funny. So I saw you post something on Facebook where you said, you know, you have all this time, you know, to allotted to pick the kind of songs or music that you want. that not to leave it to the end of the night to ask the DJ, can you play a slow song so I can dance? Or can you play a slow song so I can have a dance with my wife or whatever?
Yeah, Jimmy Lee. That comes from like, oh my God, I'm such a strong person when it comes to like doing stuff. So like if I take my lady out to a let's say Jimmy Lee owns a restaurant.
Right.
And I come in the restaurant. When I come in the restaurant, the first thing I'm doing is looking for the owner. I'm like, hey, man, do you own this spot? It's a special night. I need a special drink, a special entree, and a special song for my lady.
Yeah.
All right, man, no problem. But, this, you know, what happens normally is you go to an event. There's a theme, so you have to stick to the theme. So you can't play what you want to play. So I do all clean, family-friendly, high-energy entertainment. So you can play it for your kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's pumped up. And if you want to hear something slow, I'll happily slow it down. Just come up and let me know at the beginning of the night, and I'll tell you specifically where I'm going to play that song at, so you can get your Mac on, bro. But what happens is they'll look at me. But if you know me, you know that this guy has a lot of energy. We're not going to have it's not going to be like a chill New York lounge. Not unless you want. And then they're upset. I'm like, hey, just ask, man. Of course, we'll add it to the mix, but. This holiday season, dude, I'm contracted with a company now called Astro Entertainment and another company called DJ NDD, and that's in DC. So if you're in the 757, all my bookings come through a sales rep. So you can't even talk to me to get me booked anymore.
Yeah.
And I tried to express that to people, but no one took caution to the wind. No one paid attention. So literally, man, I DJ 14 hours a day.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It is insane. And people get mad at me.
What is it that you're doing? 14 hours a day. Where are you DJing at? Like
from 10 in the morning to 12 midnight. That's the schedule. So I do malls, cruise ships, weddings, schools, corporates, hotels. Awesome. Everybody parties every day, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I do the beach, and it's like, you know, what I am lacking is staying in touch with like Jimmy Lee and Scott and my family. But hey, I'm living my dream, so
yeah,
it's just a lot of work, but it's cool at the same time, though.
Is there a busier season for this, for DJing? I mean, I know right now it's like the holidays, you know, the Christmas season and stuff like that. Is it more busy that now than it is in the summer?
Cha-ching. This is cha-ching season. And after that, you get the wedding. The wedding starts in June.
Okay.
And then, well, you know what? Now people get married a little bit earlier. But once wedding season starts, you start making money again. But from let's just go from Halloween all the way up until Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
If you're a DJ, you should be making money for sure.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
So my wife and I got married, right? We had a meeting with the DJ, and we explained specifically what we wanted, and my wife had zero desire to have a specific artist played. So she said, can you not play X, Y, and Z artist at all, ever, no matter who requests it? It's never. She just disliked this artist.
Yeah.
So he goes, okay, cool. So we're like, all right, our DJ was phenomenal, did everything. But when you said that, when people gave requests or whatever, it made that popped up in my mind, because I'm like, I wonder if this actually happened now. If the bride and groom say, don't, you know, we don't want X, Y, and Z being played, but then you come, let's just say multiple people come up to you in the middle of the event, like, oh, can you play this artist who they said no?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to respect the wishes of whoever's paying you, but how do you handle that?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm super honest, man. I'm like, no. Can't do it. it doesn't go over well because I don't explain it. I'm like, no, I can't do it. That way, you know, that way there's no chance in heck there's going to happen, bro. And then if they come back again, I was like, all right, well, you need to go talk to Jimmy and Kelly. And then there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what? I'd rather someone say that to me, saying no, they requested specific songs, and we actually already have a schedule panned out. If someone said that, and I'm like, all right, I actually respect that, then we've gone and probably were an annoying person that you described at one point and said, can you play X, Y, and Z? And they say, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And it never gets played. That's more annoying, and then we dislike this. We're like, we'll never hire this guy.
Yeah. But you know, whenever anyone says a DJ to a car salesman, "Hey man, can I get those fog lights on my Camry?" "Oh yeah, sure, no problem." He's lying to you.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Because
oh yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah.
I bought I bought a used car and one of the seats came without a headrest. And I was asking, I was like, "Can I get this headrest? I mean, I know it sounds weird, but it looks weird without one of the headrests." He's like, "It's a used car, you're buying it like as is." I'm like, "Can we work something?" He's like, "Oh yeah, we'll work something out. If you buy it tonight, I'll get you a headrest." And the same thing. It took me like 4 months to get this headrest because I was like, my wife wouldn't let it go. I'm like, "I'm about to just go on eBay and buy headrest at this point." She's like, "No, you're not buying it.
You're
not
better
buying
off doing
it.
That."
Oh, man. That was an interesting 4 months. But yeah, that's funny that you said that. Oh.
Yeah, geez. Man.
I got a question for you, Quentin. If you're DJing 14 hours a day, and obviously it's a whole bunch of different kind of environments, demographics, do you have a game plan? Do you have a game plan going in, or is it just kind of like, are you feeling it out? Like, what's your kind of, how do you operate? How do you start? How do you get a feel for it?
I'm a prep guy, man. So most times, let's say with the cruise ships, you never know until you get there. They give you 30 minutes. They're like, "Yeah, we got a deck. We got, I got 50 people from Puerto Rico. I got 10 New Yorkers, people from D.C. I got a senior citizen group to the right, and I got some 16-year-olds in the back." And you got to be like, "What?"
So, wow.
Like most DJs, I have sets. I got a 16-year-old set. I got a Motown set. I got a 60 set. And then those sets, you dig in the crate, you pull it out. Other than that, like if I did Jimmy and Kelly's wedding, let me show you really quick, man. Let me thumb through some stuff.
Yeah, just pull out swipe.
Bam. So I just write stuff down. When I look at the crowd, I'm just writing down songs and genres and whatever. Wow. And then by the time I get back to the booth with a Serato or virtual DJ, it's like, you know, it's so fast that you can really put a show together if you're good in like 30 minutes. So I wish I had more time to prep, but like with the nature of the industry, it's quick now. Back in the day, people would book you 6 months out, but now they'll call you Thursday for a party Saturday. You got to be like, "Yeah, I can do that." But that's just how it goes for whatever reason.
Well, I would assume, and you can talk, and you could probably speak to this better, with kind of the technology moving as quickly as it has, how has that changed? You know, you talk about, you know, having your records, let's just say, and now you have whatever instrument you use. I'm sure it's some sort of digital or tech, you know, computer you have. How has that changed your business?
For me, I'm a lot faster because I used to do records and stuff back in the day, and I love it. And then a couple of years ago when I was in Italy, man, I some type of way that the moving guys got my stuff and I never got it, and I never had turntables since. So then I was a CDJ. You know, I did CDJs, and then I moved to controllers, and I didn't give myself a chance to like it. But then a guy I really respect, me and Biz Marquis rocked out at an event.
Wow.
And Biz had turntables and I had a controller. And Biz, I'm like, "Yo, can you give me like this one point, like one nugget to take away from me?" He was like, "Get you another set and get you a crew." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You can make twice as much money." I'm like, "You mean like turntables?" He's like, "Nah, man, whatever you're good on," he said, "it's a one and a two. Forget what everyone says. It's a one and a two. And if you're good at it, you're good at it. Because the crowd does not know what you're using."
Yeah.
I said, "But what do you mean by getting a crew?" He was like, "So I'm here with you." He said, "I have another setup in Baltimore. My crew is setting that up. When I'm done here, I'm going to go to Baltimore and DJ. They're going to come back here and break this stuff down." He said, "So while you're breaking your stuff down, I'm getting paid for my second show." I was like, "Oh my God, that's so smart."
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, man. And so with the controllers, you know, man, it's quick. I just unplug the computer, tuck it under my arm, grab the computer under this arm, and I'm out to the next show.
Nice. Yeah.
It's fast.
That's wow. I never even thought about that. That's cool, though, to have your own crew setting up your equipment for you.
Yeah, I never thought of it either, man.
And you have no worries. Like, you know that your stuff's going to be there. And like you said, you just pull your laptop or whatever you're using. Is that all you use, just a laptop? Or do you use any, like those little I'm horrible with what they're called. But, like, I know my coworker uses we have touchscreen laptops, and he has, like, these two turntables on the laptop, and it's touchscreen, so he can, like, mix it up that way also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtual DJ.
Yeah, I use virtual DJ. I at one point, I sold all my equipment, man. I was like in crazy debt. I was so broke because I went through a divorce. I think you guys remember Sarah, my ex-wife.
Yeah.
So we went through a divorce and then had to do the right thing for money. So I sold everything, right? Wow. And then everywhere I went, if you had equipment, I knew how to DJ on it. YouTube University.
Yes.
I watched YouTube and I learned it. So if I went to a place, I said, "Do you have a house system?" They're like, "Yeah, we got a house system. You got a computer?" I would plug in and I was good, man. Every free DJ program I have, DJ program that's worth paying for, I have. So you can't say anything. I'm like, "Oh, I use Virtual DJ. Oh, I use Serato. Oh, I use Mixmeister. Oh, I use Traktor. I use all that stuff." But I did that just that no matter where I was at, I could work. So it was, you know, kind of like no matter what, I got to keep it going type of deal. And that's where that came from.
Now, what is your preference? Did you prefer like actual LPs or do you prefer like the digital stuff nowadays? Like you're not having a record in your hand. You're just, you know, touching different things.
If I'm out in public, I prefer Virtual DJ and a controller. Okay. If I'm at home and it's just like me trying to like woosah and, you know, just chill out and let it be my golf course, turntables all day because of the art, the vinyl, the feel, the sound. Vinyl, you can't duplicate it. You know, even like touching a record, nothing feels like it. Nothing feels like it. So even like now, trying to get back in the turntablism, I got a guy named Rich that I've been working with, one of my good friends and mentors from Astro. And then a guy named Fuego. Fuego is actually from New York. So these guys, are, you know, we'll kick and then we'll put on the turntables and work it out. And I'm like, I'm so rusty, man, you know, compared to them. And it's just, you know, the turntable is more like for stress relief. And then performance-wise, I love the controllers because it's just quick and easy. Yeah. And you can do the same things with it if you're good, you know.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
Do you use touchpads? Like to add extra beats and
Yeah, for sure. Anything like that's probably one of my strongest points is I do live remixes. So nice. Live remixes, live matches up, you know, with the touchpads. Awesome. I'll make beats on the spot. And they always think it's pretty cool because I guess a lot of guys don't do that.
Right.
But if you're trying to compete like with Tiesto and David Guetta and you know DJ Snake,
absolutely,
that's what they do, man. And they're the richest DJs in the world. So you're like, okay, well, the richest DJ does it. Why won't you do it? Those guys are worth $60 million, bro.
Yeah. Nope.
You want to get there, absolutely. Yeah.
Doing this.
Work out those fingers.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you just mentioned like three DJs. Is there one that you actually, it didn't have to be them three, I'm just saying in general, a DJ that you like kind of look up to or every time I feel like talk to a like a drummer, the drummers have like their specific top five and there's like, yes, X, Y, and Z. Same thing you know, like singers or rappers. They always have their, and I just thought of it right now. I'm like, wow, this is a DJ. I know Goose has like his preference for, you know, he has his top five barbers or whatever it is. Who's your top five or whatever? Top one, three.
Number one is Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy, of course. Nice. That's all.
The reason why you can listen to Jeff today, he still transforms, and then his transitions are the same, but they're so smooth that you'll never get tired of it. If I did that, you'd be like, all right, Q, do something different. But when Jeff does it, it's just smooth. Yeah. And then there's this guy out of the UK. If you guys could Google DJ Raphael, this kid is absolute. Oh, he's sick, bro. He's so sick. And then, like, his skill set was so good. Like, when I first heard him, I was like, oh, he sounds like me. And then I'm like, oh snap, he's better than me. You got to admit that, right?
Yeah.
And then the last one is a friend of mine out of DC. When I first got to DC, the guy named DJ Chris Styles. You know, white guy, super sharp, crispy, but he can mix like no other. So when I got to DC, I was in the military. I was like, yo, Chris, I want to get down. I want to DJ. What's up, man? Can you put me on? He was like, oh, man, I don't really have time to mentor you. I said, you ain't got a mentor, man. I know how to DJ. Can you put me on? And he goes like, okay, I see what you're saying, man. And then he gave me a chance. He just kind of set me up with a gig somewhere. Like gave me a referral, like no payment, no book. And I went there and did my thing. And then after that, I started working. And Chris has done some really great stuff and some big time stuff. You guys can Google Chris. He's a very successful DJ, but he kind of helped me get my foot grounded in DC. Yeah, Chris Styles, Raphael, Jazzy Jeff, nice. For sure.
That's awesome. So what do you think of two things? What do you think of the famous DJs right? Because we always hear in the hip hop industry is like DJ Khaled and DJ Knucklehead,
whoever,
DJ Paris Hilton,
DJ. Where people great are claiming, what about people? Okay, so that's like a two part question. Like, how do you feel about that? And then, how do you feel about the people claiming to be DJs who really aren't in the art?
The first thing is, like, if you go back to the definition that definition.com gave us, I guess they're DJs. But to my opinion, Khaled probably really can DJ, but he's a producer.
Yeah.
He makes great music. And then, but that's part of DJing. Like, I make beats too, but I don't consider myself a producer. I say I'm a DJ. So maybe he's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people. Let's say who's a DJ that you guys might not know. Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest.
Yes. Yep.
Nick Cannon.
Yes.
Jermaine Dupri. Great DJ. Jermaine Dupri is a great DJ. Who else is a great DJ that's a celebrity you guys might know? Yeah, but DJ Paris Hilton, I don't know. Man. I know where you guys are at up in Philly, Jersey, and New York. There are a lot of female DJs. They're beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to the skill set, they're not touching Jeff. They may kick my butt, but they're not touching Jeff. No way. No way.
So going on that, when you're saying like mixes and everything, I love music. I'm very into it. I get it. It's a stress reliever for me. But when it comes to like the skill set of having an ear for certain things, you know, when you're picking up, when, you know, one song is transitioning to the next song where I can pick things up that my wife can't pick up. And I'm saying like, oh gosh, I was an awful transition. I'm sure I'm tearing up the terminology here, but you know what I'm saying. When they're going from one song to another song, how you blend these two songs together, that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying transition.
Yeah.
So when they're doing that, some of them are just awful where, not that I had the music ear, but I have an ear enough to realize that was a terrible blend. Yeah. Whereas my wife, she wouldn't even care. She's like, I don't care. That song's awesome. Man. And she's just dancing away. Whereas to me, it shuts me down. I'm like, it just turns me off. Like, that was awful. Like, I can't even dance to this right now. And I know it sounds like snooty or something, but it's like, put time into this, people. Like, it's not that hard. You just go from like this crazy upbeat, you know, song to like this horribly like mixed like emo song. You're like, what is this guy doing right now? And it's awful. And genres are off. Beats are off. Everything. So what's your view on that?
You said it, bro. It's practice. You can always tell. And it's little things like basic things. We're gonna transition songs. And like, I always talk to DJs to make sure that I'm on point with this stuff, because you will forget. Because like the Bruno Mars song, 24 Karat Gold, super hot song, but it starts off really slow with that long intro. And then when the beat drops, that's where you want to drop the heat.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how to do that, you have to fade down and fade in. And then if you're going to bring in if you're playing track one, you're going to bring in track two. You have to kill one of those bass knobs. So if you got to kill, if I want to bring in that, I'm going to kill the bass on one and let the bass hit on two. Boom. So there's no crash.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then the other thing is this, like there's a rule of five. So if I have a song at 95 BPMs, I can mix it with a 100 or a 90 and the crowd would never know the difference.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But if I drop a 128 or a 130, they're going to be like, yo, what the? What's that?
It messes everything up.
That's what you're talking about. Guys do it all the time because they're not practicing. They think it's like, oh, I'm just going to get on here and play my playlist, and it's all over the place. But stay within that five. And that's when you go to a party, they'll start at 95. This is how we do it.
Yeah, yeah,
and then by the end of the night, you're like, tonight, give me all of it. And it's like, it's a method to it, man. But, you know, people are not, they don't practice, man. And you can tell right away.
Now,
you can tell right away.
So we talked about transition style. Well, it's a skill. And fake DJs. What going on that? What is a pet peeve of yours in the DJ industry?
Oh my God! If you can't mix, that doesn't mean you can't DJ, because you can be like, I do this sometimes depending on the crowd. Like, if I had you guys, I would probably try to mix for y'all because y'all know music. Y'all from up north, East Coast. Y'all know hip hop. Like, yeah. I can't fool you guys.
That's
North East Coast. But if I'm here, I'll do this. I'll be playing a song. And then just like, remember the Blackstreet album? What are we going to do now is go back in the time.
I'll just
stop the track, say something like that. Then I'll drop like an old school banger. Boom. Yeah. And then now me and the crowd are doing call and response. I'm like, y'all know this one? Y'all know this one? And you just keep docking banger after banger after banger until you can get your mixing back on point. And then you can always like, you know, you got this ear over here. You're trying to get your skills back up because sometimes you get off. And until you do that, you use your mic. What guys will try to do at a party, especially like a wedding or something, they'll just try to fix the mix live. And like the crowd is like, yo, what is he doing? Like you have to check yourself and admit that you're off. And you got to fix it, you know. Yeah. But guys don't do that because of their pride. They keep trying to fix the mix. Yeah. I'm like, man, you got to talk it out. You know, like step away from the free throw line, shake it off, then step back to the free throw line.
You know, it's super interesting because over the past, I guess it was like 6 months ago, we went to a 80s versus 90s, and it was Biz Markie. He was in Philly, and he did that between every song. He stopped playing music and would talk and then drop, you guys know what this track is? And you're like, what in the world? Oh. But it was like he had that place jumping. I mean,
rocking.
All ages, all. It was the funniest crowd, wasn't it?
It was. It
most
was,
interesting, yeah. I should say. Interesting crowd.
That's from crazy,
like
too.
Early 20s you know to like crazy? 50s. Yeah, it was nice.
That's crazy because I got that from Biz Markie at the event I was telling you about. That's crazy. Really? He's still doing the same stuff. Wow.
And I'm talking about that was this year, 2016.
Yeah, he's what he looked like to me was he's a professional. He's been there, done that. Cool, calm, collected. Like this is his thing, and he you know, he's kind of a he looks like somewhat of a goofball for he's being interviewed or they make him beatbox on the spot, so he kind of acts kind of goofy. He was in the zone, and I was just like, I was admiring, like, this is his craft, and he takes it extremely seriously.
You could instantly tell he was in his domain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he had full control over this nutty crowd. I mean, it was at the TLA, and it was just, like, nuts. Like, I don't even know. Like, you got it. You walked into this place, and it's, like, overwhelming. It was just like, there's just so much stuff going on. And when he stopped the beat, you heard nothing. And then you know how he has like that deep raspy voice, and then he just started yelling something. Y'all remember that? Boom! And he drops a beat, and the crowd was. And I said it was an interesting crowd because it was the title of the whole night was '90s versus '80s. So you had like a 50-year-old like guy who you could tell he was probably the man back in the day, but he still had like he looked like he was dressed like a B-boy, with the big dookie chain on. And then you had like me and Manny, and then we're like dressed like kind of like, you know, clean cut preppy look. And then you had like people like dressed in the hip hop era of like the '90s with like Reebok oversized classics on or oversized t-shirts.
That sounds great. That's like a great party though.
Yo, so when we had a blast, it was a good time. But I just said that to say this: he had complete control over like it, which looked like a crazy house, and he had complete control.
That's like, man. So many DJs have told me this. You control the crowd. Don't let the crowd control you.
Right.
Meaning, like, if I'm DJing for you guys, you know, we're doing, like, yo, IQ, I want to have this event. I want to have this going on. I'm going to be like, all right, let's get it popping. And then, so we're expecting, like, your fan base to tune in. But all of a sudden, we get 500 people from the Comic-Con convention want to come to your party. And you're like, cute, we got to switch it up. I'm like, nah, man, they got to rock out with us. And then you got to stick to the game plan, you know? That's very key, man. That's crazy. So I'm glad Biz is still doing his thing, man. God, that's crazy. That's where I got that from, Biz Markie.
That's crazy.
He's found two nuggets. We've talked, and he's literally talked about having the Macy contact. I feel like man, Biz still
we're
doing.
Like, we're helping you talk through some things tonight. It's an intervention.
I'm like, man, okay, all this stuff is starting to come full circle.
Q, I got a question for you. When you go to events that you aren't DJing, and I'm sure they're few and far between that people aren't asking you to actually DJ, but when you go, are you disturbed
Or are you listening, or are you critiquing, or are you just enjoying? Can you separate your profession and enjoy the party if you're not the guy, if you're not performing, so to speak?
Great question.
Subconsciously, no. So, like, it's always on. Even, like, when I watch movies, I listen for the transitions for, like, the soundtrack. It's crazy where, like, I'll wait for the song to stop and for, like, Ryan Gosling's voice to come in, like, how they mix that sound.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really into it. But if a DJ is good, like, if I was at that party with Biz, I would have been just, like, on autopilot partying with you guys. But if we're at a party and that DJ was whacking, I'd be like, yo, Jimmy Lee, what, did you hear that?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess, like, subconsciously, no. But if the guy is excellent, then it's like, okay, yeah, he knows what he's doing. I can just cut these ears off. And but you know what's funny? When I'm not DJing, Manny, I like silence. It's so weird because and this is the first time in my life that's been true, but because of the schedule now, I write in silence a lot, or I listen to a lot of like audio books now, just so I can like take a break from it. It's crazy.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I would say the same thing to Goose, or ask the same thing to Goose.
Yeah, and I say that on my way home from work, I just complete silence, or I'll call one of you guys because there's so much talking, so much going on at the shop, and so many different topics, and just like, you just want to just chill. You want your brain that's been fried all day.
Yeah.
So listening to so much different things on my ride home, I call you guys. I call someone just to, or just complete silence, just drive home silent.
So are you too, like how he was saying, you know, he can enjoy a party or whatever if the music, are you like, because this is fascinating to me now, like, do you go to the mall and just stare at like people's haircuts?
No, I just observe. I see. Yeah, I do see it. And whoever's with me, if they know, though, I'm like, I'll tell them. Because
we always say something. Yeah, every once in a while, we're like, yo, my man, who cut my man? Yeah, whose man's is this?
Yeah, whose man's is this?
Yeah, I do that. But Quinn, ask you a question. When you're at a party, right? You're playing a banger. Then your next song comes on, and everyone's like, everyone that was dancing, they walk off the floor, and it looks dead. What do you do?
Because this just happened.
Yeah. Do you like?
It happens all the time. What I do? Some parties even start like that. We can drop the bangers and nobody's dance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then you wasted them. Like,
yeah, I guess I'm comfortable, man, because most times, okay, I'm going to answer your question first, then I give an example of what happened last night. So if I do that, like I'm doing a party, and I was actually playing the Bruno Mars song, and I knew in my head where I was going to go next. So the girl comes up, she was like, yo, can I get Starboy? I'm like, yeah, I get it on for you. She was like, can you play it next? I was like, if I play it next, it's just not going to go well. But it was her party, so I was like, all right, I'll play it next. And they cleared the floor out.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
And then I said, no, I'm going to let it ride. So I went over to her table and sat down with her and said, hey, what's up, guys? My name is Q. I'm the DJ. And Starboy's going on in the background. I'm like, you hear Starboy? She's like, yeah, thank you so much. I'm like, you see the dance floor? She's like, oh, I was like, that's what I was trying to tell you.
Exactly.
And then when I came back out, the biggest key, well, it may be different in Philly, but I doubt it. But the biggest key to fix one of those moments.
Yeah.
Goose is just to drop a line dance song. If you drop the wobble, get your floor back. That's like true. DJs hate to do it. I'm like, okay, well, I just lost my floor. Oh, drop the wobble.
Yeah.
The wobble. That's Manny's favorite song.
Yeah. By myself.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
That's great because well, first of all, we experience that all the time, and me and my brothers are into music and everything, and that's one thing we always talk about is like, dude, do you not see everyone walked away? Like, I get it, because it's hard for our family because it transitions. So we got, well, they'll play like the hip hop new school stuff, but then we have the Spanish crowd, so then they'll drop a salsa song, which is fine. It clears the young guys out, and normally the older people get in, and or you know, it's a variety of people that go in, and also fine. But then that is kind of hard for a DJ because then he doesn't want to just play salsa or whatever Spanish music all night. So then he has to go back and then drop like another English song. So then that comes in. So the floor is constantly swapping in and out. How do you handle something that?
Yeah. But you know what it is? That's like mixing, man. Because like I get the same thing too. And then I have my Spanish trigger songs, man. I know like.
Yeah.
If I drop Mark Anthony, they're going to rock out. Aventura, they're going to rock out. If I drop Suave Mente,
yeah, your classic.
Now, do you mix so like
you have those classic, and then after that, you got to go like Safe Latino. You got to go like Pitbull.
Yeah,
know,
that's what I was gonna, that's, yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
You, like, you got to keep it safe. But if you start playing stuff like I Love Salsa, people. They may know that. They may not know it, you know. Yeah. Or if he dropped like Tumba La Casa, and I know it, but you guys know it, but the average Joe don't know that stuff. And DJs, we call it getting lost in the sauce, right? So I'm in this spot called Stars, and it's this guy called DJ Superman because he looks like Clark Kent. So like he wears a little curl thing and the glasses, and he drums it up. Yo, this guy, it can be 85 black people in there. 5 white people and 2 Latino guys, and he will be way over here playing like Russian hip hop. I'm like, what the heck? What are you doing? And he was like, oh man, well, you know, I got it last night. I got downloaded last night. This is that new. I'm like, well, it's too new. Nobody knows it. You can't play that, you know? Yeah. Same thing with the Bruno Mars album. Excellent album, but no one knows it yet. So you really can't just drop it.
Yeah. That dude's trying to break records.
Yeah. I think Bruno's got that covered, man. Just wait to play it, and then you'll be good. And then even like me, I sometimes I'll be in my head, I'm lost in the sauce, and I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to drop this Rob bass, It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right, and everybody's going to go crazy. And you'll be like, boom, boom, cut, and then nobody reacts. You're like, oh, snap.
How do you get out of that? Like, do you lose your mojo, essentially? I know you see you call it getting lost in the sauce, but what do you do to bounce back from that? Like, are you just searching, or what happens?
Oh, my God, I'm giving you guys all my secrets, man, but who cares? I got a folder called Trigger Songs. So if I mess up, which I do a lot, if I mess up, I go to my Trigger Song folder. Yo, if I play anything out of that folder, you're going to dance. It's just what it is. It's not going to be a mix, but that's how you get your crowd back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, you guys go out too. What's one of the, if you hear Usher, Peace, Hook, A-Town Down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah.
That's automatic out there, yo.
Yeah, and then, like, definitely is. You got to be like, all right, yo, you got to keep us.
It's and my then, song. Oh, my God, it's my song.
Hey, yo, Jimmy. this is another DJ trick. So the first thing is to play for the ladies. If the ladies are dancing, the fellas are going to dance with the ladies.
Absolutely.
If you got a mixed crowd, if I got black, white, Asian, Latino, I'm DJing for Latino. Yeah. You guys are going to party.
Yeah. That reminds me of a skit Cat Williams did. And he was talking about, he's like, these damn Latinos know how to party, right? And he's sitting there, he says he's dancing in the front lawn. He's like half crying, like, I just want to go home. Yeah. And he's just still scooting around. About 5 o'clock in the morning, the next day, we're still dancing on the front lawn.
It's always like that too.
Oh, man. All right, so let's transition here. Let's talk business, right?
Okay.
So we have my brother Goose, small business owner of Miguel's Riverside Barbershop, right? Who now has an app for his clients to book appointments. All right, Goose is for you. Can you tell us how you came up with this method and why?
Well, first of all, you guys know my shop isn't the biggest shop. Like, it's small. It's a small, like, narrow shop. And it would be packed with, like, 30 people at a time. And some people were outside, some people out front, people
standing
waiting,
room only.
People waiting 2 hours. Ooh. So we had to figure something out.
Yeah.
So we went to like appointment only. So we're cutting hair, phones ringing off the hook, cell phone, shop phone, and we're writing stuff down, but we're taking away time from cutting hair.
Yeah.
So I had to figure something out where like I'm not in the budget to hire a receptionist to do that. So I'm trying to figure something out that'll like accommodate everyone as they're setting appointments. So I know like some of the top barbers like in the industry, and some of them have apps. So I went to there was like a barber convention, and usually like the night before the convention, like all the top dogs in the industry, they get together, whatever. So this time it was at DSG, Danny Garcia's barbershop in Philly. So I went there and I met this, and Danny's shop, they have an app. So I went there and I'm talking to the barbers. I'm like, yo, how do you guys do this app thing? The one barber. Ears, he's like, yo, that's the guy right there. That's the guy you want to talk to. He's the one who created the app. Oh. So I start talking to him, whatever. We start talking. We put like numbers and stuff together. And dude, he created my app, which was like the easiest thing. It took like 4 weeks to do all the legalizations with like Apple, Amazon, or Apple and Android or whatever.
Yeah.
So now it's like so convenient. I'm just working, I'm cutting away, and my phone will get a text message that someone booked an appointment. And I get it all 24 hours a day, dude, at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I had to set my phone so when the app gives me like
notification.
I had to put it on silent. So I just see them now. Right. I don't even get them. But it just makes it more organized. Like a lot of people are busy. Like I don't want someone that's just like, oh, I need a haircut right now. Let me go in the shop.
Yeah.
Like that was our biggest issue. Like people were just like last minute cutting.
Yeah.
So our busiest days used to be like Thursdays, but definitely Friday and Saturday, and it would be like crazy overwhelming.
Yeah.
So now all the appointments from Saturday, Friday, they're getting booked. People going to Thursday. People going to Wednesday. So now week. From Tuesday to Saturday, it's level. It's equal all week long. So I'm not going to work stressed out. Like, I'm going to be here freaking for like 12 hours. You know what I mean? And then on a Tuesday, sitting there just doing a couple cuts and then leaving early.
Yeah.
So now all week long, it's easy. I know what I'm doing. And the type of people that are setting up appointments are more responsible type people. So they're like setting their life schedules through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it just made it so much more convenient for all of us, me and the barbers. And it was just so much easier.
So the quality, that's interesting. I guess that was like a beautiful default of, having the app, is the quality of your clientele went up, obviously, because it's naturally a more organized person.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you didn't mention was you're able to actually take a lunch.
Oh, well, yeah, I can throughout that time, I block off that lunch time, and now I can
people actually couldn't believe that you had to stop and eat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd cut hair, and then all of a sudden, like, I'd have food. I'm like, yo, can I eat this real quick? And they're like, yo, I've been here for 2 hours. I'm like, well, I got to eat, yo. I got to fuel myself up to keep going.
Yeah.
They would get so mad. Yeah. So then, like, obviously, I would get, like, customers, like, family or people that I knew I can sit down and eat real quick right before then. They wouldn't mind. But some people would be like, yo, I'm on a time. I'm like, well, you're not on a time frame because you've been here for 2 hours. So, but now I can block off. Now I can block off a certain time during the day, actually have a lunch or whatever, and then get back to work.
No, I get it. Every time I walked in there around that time, I was always lunchtime. Whether it was
Manny was always my lunchtime. Five,
As
soon as I saw a family member coming, I'm like, good, I can eat that snack or I can eat something right before them because they ain't gonna say nothing.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's now and then now it's like now that the holidays are going, now I can manage my time. So like my last appointment will be like at 6 o'clock in the evening. So like I extend it. So I have like a preferred customer list, like they've been with me for a while. I add them on like at the end of the day and just keep going.
I just made my appointment for Wednesday. I'm definitely late.
But I can add people
support,
on now.
Support.
So I can add people on the end of the day and just keep my day going. But if I want to, I can stay till midnight if I wanted to. I can control my time. Now I can actually, for the first time, I have control of my time. Like I can leave whenever I can. Now my daughter, she's into like a lot of things like gymnastics, dance, whatever. Now I can like, I know in a month in advance she has like a show to do. I can block that day off and no one's going to bother her. No one's going to come to the shop. Oh, where's Miguel? Where's Goose? Oh, where's, you know what I mean? People that are coming, they're set as an appointment. So they don't have like, there's no excuse, you know?
Yeah. So, talking about booking and stuff like that, Quinn, I want to turn it back to you. What what booking methods you use? I know you had mentioned a couple agencies that you're with, but what kind of booking methods you use, and what's the key to staying booked in your opinion?
I've done like a gig salad, Thumbtack, and all those things. Success has been, I don't know, 20%. And then, social media, a lot of promo goes out there. But I'm still, believe it or not, because I have the time to do it. I get dressed really nice and I go to venues that have regular functions. And then I still do a presentation, whether it's on my smartphone or my computer. Hey, how you guys doing? Could I speak to the venue manager? You go right to him. And then off dress and appearance alone, it's already half the battle is won.
Yeah.
But the most effective for me has been Wedding Wire, which is a website for wedding talent, and then word of mouth referrals. And what I do is, like, if let's say if Goose cuts my hair, at the end of the haircut, I'm like, hey man, can I write you a review somewhere? Like, can I post a review like viral, like on the internet somewhere to help you get some traffic? And then I do that for customers. And so in turn, when I do events, I always, at the end of every event, I take my camera, I ask for a review, and then I ask for permission. I'll post that in the right places. And if it's someone notable, I always get referrals off of that too.
That's genius.
No, seriously,
that's genius. Awesome. Right at the end, I ask for a little 30-second, hey, he was cool type of thing.
Yeah, nice.
Goose, I mean, that might be something you can think about implementing. Obviously, people are walking billboards of, but there's so many barbers, there's so many DJs, right? Yeah. You know, you got to set yourself apart. I'm sorry, you got to set yourself apart from, you know, the masses.
Yeah.
And those are the little things, and that's when detail comes into play.
Yeah.
His app, your videos that you're showing, the way you're promoting this stuff. You know, someone the other day asked me for a business card, and I was still fascinated how relevant that question still is. I mean, still, how many people do you walk into that have a business card? And this was something that was talked about for years and year. I think that's another Cat Williams. Oh my gosh, why is Cat Williams on my line right now?
It is.
The Ludacris song. It was a Ludacris song. Is the intro of a Ludacris song in the video. I forget what it was. Does anyone remember? I forget. But anyway, he's like, here. He's like in front of the chalkboard, like one of those like moving chalkboards. Like, here, near, 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 near.
Is it Roll Out? I can't think of what
that
is.
It's a classic Ludacris song, though. That's hilarious.
We'll figure it out by the end of the show. Somebody's going to scream it out loud.
So what's in your opinion, we have the app, we have videos, we have business cards. What do you guys think, you know, is the best way to make a name for themselves? And I know you kind of touched on this before, Quinn, about talking about social media. And Goose, me and him are always having conversations about promotion, we have, you know, we're going back and forth on, you know, quality of cameras now that people are using to show the quality of the haircut that they're giving their clients. So it's not just this blurry, cheap Nextel phone that someone's taking a picture of.
Nextel.
You're right, man. You're absolutely right. Just like you, Jimmy Lee, with your music, or you remember when you first started marketing for JimmyLeeVelez.com?
Yes.
You know, you did the pictures and the photo shoot and the background, all the lettering and the font. I was like, yo, everything is like really clean. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, he's thinking about every little thing. And I'm like, okay, I need to do the same thing, because I was posting cell phone videos and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I got to get a camera. Even if it's like buying a phone specifically has a nice camera.
Yeah.
I did that. And then, like, if I go to Instagram, and Jimmy Lee, you do it too. Like, your marketing is phenomenal. Like, everything's black and white. I get it.
Yeah.
So I had to take time and filter my stuff and, like, you know, kind of make it look like I had an HD camera when I did all that stuff, man. And it's like, it really does matter because, well, dude, let's just keep it real. Saturday, I was supposed to DJ for Air Force One.
Wow.
It was this big fiasco, and I didn't end up – I couldn't do it because – part of the contract agreement was not met. So as much as I wanted to do the party, I was like, I can't do it because in business, like, your number's your number. You can't get off your number.
Yeah.
And so I told him no, but I said, you know what? No, I got a long history with you guys. I'm going to give you a referral. This referral is this guy's from Queens, New York. He runs circles around me on the ones and twos. You hear me?
Yeah.
But because his website was cheesy, they didn't book them.
Wow. It definitely is all about presentation.
And like,
yeah, man. And then, like, I called back. I'm like, yo, this guy's great. He kind of showed me some stuff. I'm telling you, he's an exceptional DJ. And it was like, I went to his website and looked at great. And they, Jimmy Lee, I don't even have a website. They compared my Facebook to his website and still wanted me.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is
and then, like,
crazy.
Business card, that was Saturday, bro. And I was like, you know, and when people ask me all the time, do you have a business card? I haven't had a business card in way too long. When I have them, I don't give them out. Because, like, if I would have met you, or Manny, if I would have met you outside of Jimmy Lee or any of you guys, man, this is me. Like, if I have a connection, I'm like, I'll pull my cell phone out. What's your number, bro?
Yeah.
And I'm hitting you up.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Like I said, it's then, all about, you know, the audience you have.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I get it. I'm probably going to order some business cards because when I saw the question, you made me think, Jimmy Lee, and I was like, it's probably still important to some people, like my mom's age and above. Yeah. And then I do exactly. want that.
Yeah.
I do want that clientele. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that goes with me. Like the older crowd in the barbershop, like they don't use the app. They still call. But I don't mind a call every once in a while, and I can book it and set it up. Yeah. But they're old school. They don't have the app. They don't even have a smartphone, or they don't know how to use it really.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so I still take those phone calls in, and we'll set it up with whatever. But like, it's such a small crowd that it doesn't bother me. Not like before.
Yeah.
The coolest card that I've seen, it was a bottle opener. The one that my coworker has.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's his business card. It's whatever his business is called, and then it's a bottle opener. So you always have that. And when you hand it off to someone, oh, here, let me pop my drink opener. I need to pop up. They look at it like, what is this? And it's a business card that has his information on there. And people look at it and read it like, oh, that's pretty interesting. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, I guess it goes through all different crowds and stuff like that. So that was one of the coolest ones I've seen. I don't know.
I remember the barbershop that Goose first started out at, the owner would hand out combs.
Yeah,
and
little combs, yeah.
You know, the barbershop name on it with the phone number on the other side. It was classic combs that no one really ever used, but it was still use it to brush your mustache.
Yeah.
So
my caterpillar.
But that's hilarious. One pet peeve I do have of, and what Quentin, what you're pointing out, you're saying like, oh, you had the crisp lines in your pictures and you thought about everything, and you're the first person to actually pointed that out, to be honest with you, because it's crazy how much time I put into all these little things, and they just see like, you know, people just see like the one big blurb and that's it. You could ask my wife, there's picture after picture after font, hour after hour, we pick just to pick a single little cover. You know what I'm saying? With the perfect font, with the perfect photo, with the perfect, not that it's perfect, but perfect to us.
Well, I can tell, man, because when I met you and Manny, you guys were playing ball all the time.
Yeah.
You guys are always hooping. And I'm like, okay, this dude, I like, Jimmy looks totally different, man. I'm like, yo. And I was like, he did that on purpose. And I had to think about it because, like, when I talked to you on the phone, you're the same guy.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm like, he's marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like, currently, that's what I'm doing. It's like, man, I'm duplicating you on that because if you look at my stuff, a lot of times I got a hat on or a hoodie, you know, I'm being me.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it, people are like, oh, well, you know, what about this type of stuff? I'm like, yeah, I do that too. Because if you come to a show, I wear a suit.
Right.
But when I'm at Walmart, man, it's jeans and Timberlands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so interesting. One of the things that, like, I want to say with, you know, what you were saying was picking out the font. You have like a message. All my Instagram is just black and white. It's just, it's different, and it's going to grab your attention because it's separating yourself from. That's what I'm saying. It's you're in a sea. You're in an ocean. How are you gonna be the clownfish? You know what I mean? Yeah. How are you gonna be Nemo? Well, one of the worst things you can do is go on these websites to buy a business card and then use a stupid template that they have.
Yep.
That is the absolute most careless thing I see. If you hand me a business card, I'm not even kidding you. With all due respect, I'm going to put that in my pocket. I'm like, this dude, if you don't care enough about your business to just customize,
be creative.
All you did was pick, and then people would pick the same backgrounds. It's like, it has like a little money emblem or like the at emblem. You know, when internet marketing first came out, people were like, the little at emblem was like fading into the sky. It was like, guys, are you kidding me right now?
Or it's like the website still blasted on the back of it or something.
exactly.
Yep.
Or it's like a business card made out of like regular printing paper.
I've gotten that before. It's like the size of a business card, but it's like regular paper they cut up on the paper cutter.
Don't get it wet.
Put it in your pocket. It crumbles.
You sit on the board, pull this piece of paper down. That's my business card.
Oh man.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So let's wrap it up with a couple questions and. They may not be the most simplest questions, but
okay.
What does success mean to you? And once you define that, the road to success obviously isn't an easy trip. What drives you?
All right. So what does success means to me? Providing for my family 100%, doing what I choose to do. No doubt. So like for me, it's been DJing for the past, whatever, 17 minus 40 is, whatever that is, 23 years. Good God, man. And then, so doing that, but now it's transitioning into, I've been getting offers to do like leadership training and, you know, coming in to speak to organizations on motivation and all that stuff. So that's going to be like the new thing that I've been doing it for about, I guess, a year now. So now we're going to go mainstream with it. So with DJing and the speaking part, that's going to be, you know, pretty cool. But to take care of my daughter with it, man, it's like the thing. It's like, okay, it's about her. That's really the pushing, motivating point. And then that's what it means to me, you know, take care of my family 100%. And I think it's an obligation. Like once you have kids, you've got to be successful.
So
your son, daughters, whatever. Like for you, so for Champ, man, you know, Jimmy Lee, I know sometimes you may be tired, but you got Champ right there, so you're not going to quit.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was one of the other things, you know, speaking about, you know, Goose and you, being an entrepreneur father. Being an entrepreneur is one thing, but I say entrepreneur father because we have the, you know, the responsibility outside of what we're doing. And being an entrepreneur in general is tough. People they say, okay, so you put in a lot of work for, you know, a certain amount of time and now you're just reaping the benefits. Cool. And it's a continuous thing. It's not like work. It's not work. It's, it's the biggest misconception is you don't understand. Yeah. You go in, you clock out and you go home and then you do whatever you want to do. An entrepreneur is constantly thinking, constantly doing stuff, it would never leaves a brain. So the hardest thing I think is separating work from, you know, like the family life. So the entrepreneur father, I mean, you know, how do you do it?
It's definitely tough, and I have to give myself reminders, talking to you, watching the guys here on Rotated Views, and then guys like us. So I do just a couple little things. And this one really, when you sent me this, bro, this one like really struck a chord with me because let's just get transparent, man. Forget it. I've done it right. I did it wrong. I'm doing it right. I did it right when Sarah and I was together. I did it wrong. That's why we're divorced. And I'm doing it right. And that's why I'm a good father. So each hour has 60 minutes. I work for 50 minutes. I give 10 minutes to my family. Or to myself. I work for 50 minutes. I give 10 minutes to Skype my daughter or, you know, just to whatever that thing is. I'll step outside and have a glass of water and then I'll plug back in at the top of the hour. That's new for me, bro, because I was a guy just to rock it. Like when I got off work from my job at 5, I would work until my body couldn't take it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is like, Jimmy Lee, what you have to do is talk to everybody at that table and me and ask us what makes you different, successful for someone else who's doing the same thing. So you can realize that you have accomplished some things at this point because we never realize what we've accomplished until we talk to our boys. Yeah. You're like, dude, are you tripping? You got a house, man. Come on, man. You got a job, man. Come on, man. You got a business. You got a book. You got a website. And you're still going like, no, I'm not there yet. I got the same disease, man. And the last thing is this, is I will stop everything I'm doing to put my hands on things that I love.
Yeah.
No matter, like, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to, even with this podcast, man, like 8:00, we're going to get started at 7:50. I promise you, man, if the situation was different, you would have got a text saying, Jimmy Lee, I can't go on to 8:15. I got to go cook oatmeal for my kid.
Yeah.
I'm that dad.
Yeah.
I'm that dad. And then fathers understand, you know, most fathers, that's where daddy gang came from. Daddy gang came from talking to you, talking to a friend named Douglas Austin out in California, talking to Scott and watching you guys, because I knew you guys when we all met, nobody had kids.
Yeah.
None of us had kids.
Yeah.
And we were like all over the place, crazy fanatic. And then once I saw you change, bro, and I like, man, and then this dude was watching me with my kid. He was like, I'm watching you, bro. You always working, you always doing something. And he would see me across the street and he'd be like, Daddy Gang. I'm like, yo, what the heck is Daddy Gang? He's like, you're Daddy Gang. I would be in the grocery store with a grocery cart and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm shopping at 10 in the morning. And he was like, Daddy Gang. And then I got it. And it started hitting. I was like, oh, okay, Jimmy Lee's Daddy Gang. I'm like, oh, okay, Goose is Daddy Gang. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so now I say, you know what? We hear so much stuff about guys not doing it right, but there are so many examples of people doing it right. You know, guys do it wrong, guys do it right, is what I'm trying to say. Like, if I go to your page, Jimmy Lee, I see positive. Sometimes you'll kick our butt with what you say. You'll get a little hard, but I like it like that. And then it's your family. Boop, boop, boop. That's what you get.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he ain't BSing, man. He's 100% about his family. His wife is kid, his business. He's not playing around. And I'm like, okay, I respect it for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's the, that's also, it shows a balance, not only to myself and reminds myself, but, to other people when you have a platform and you have to ask yourself every single day, what am I doing it for? Or who is watching? You have to understand, you as a DJ, Goose as a barber, heck, Manny, Gabe, myself, we are here and we're not, it's kind of what you pointed out, which made me just like step back and think again. We don't realize the power that our lives are, how powerful our lives are, not only just to ourselves, but the influence that we're bestowing upon the people around us. And yeah. with social media, it has allowed us to reach boundaries we'd have never normally, you know, hit, that our parents couldn't come close to impacting. To be honest, right? Yeah. I mean, they couldn't. They impacted. They had a powerful impact. But I'm saying we could hit multitude of numbers beyond, you know, measure with the internet. And so here's a platform. They give it to you, but it's a matter of what are you doing with it? Right? Are we just wasting it? Yeah. Are we not applying it? Are we not using it? That's just not to say that another pet peeve of mine is when someone just demolishes, you know, their social media account. It's a personal account, but it's all business. Where that's why it's like that's light brutal. Bulb. Yeah, that's brutal.
Light bulb.
Or vice versa. So
wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just feel like we. If you pay attention, this is going to go back to this podcast is called Keep It Moving, but we should probably rename it to like, in the mass ocean, what are you doing to separate yourselves? And it's in the details. It's the small things. It's the little things that you're doing that, believe it or not, people are paying attention to, regardless if you get the feedback. Because a lot of the times, that album's been out for a year and a half, and it's the first time I got feedback on the font that I used on the lettering of the album. So,
bro,
it's somebody's paying attention. Bro. It just doesn't mean that they're not giving you feedback. It's like me and Goose go to places. Well, we're family, obviously, so we're all going to the same places. And I will post a video about the podcast. I'll put on all this stuff about the podcast. Nobody would like it or say comment or nothing. We go to parties and people are pulling us inside. I love your podcast, man. I listen every week, bro. He witnessed it. He saw it. People are everywhere, anywhere in Bristol that I go to at this point, that someone asked me about it. It's funny because I'm like, why aren't you liking it? Why aren't you sharing it?
It's funny because on Friday, Saturday, I was at the Neshaminy Mall. And somebody came up to me. He's like, "Yo, what's up? Heck, what's going on? Yo, you guys are awesome on the podcast. I always try to come in and give you guys a shout out and stuff like that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Scott Tennyson. I always try to get in there and get that shout out. I'm like, it's so funny that like when you see the actual person, when they say shout, like they're saying what's up on the podcast, like or on the live feed that you're doing.
Yeah,
he's actually meaning that because in person, he's like, "Yo, you guys are doing a good job and this and that." So it's like. It's awesome that they're actually sincere about the whole thing. Not like some people like, good job. And then they see you on the street and they're like, whatever. No, but some people are like actually sincere about it. And they're like happy for you.
Yeah, but that's what it is. Wow. It's, like it's people like it's called the silent majority. It's like people, just consume it and just keep on going.
Right.
One of my friends even said the same thing. It was like, oh, I like what you're doing, but I didn't want to say anything because I thought it'd be weird. I'm like, why? How would everybody tell me if you like what I do?
What you just said is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like two things with that, man. Like, I tell you guys this because I already know it's going to be successful because, well, Jimmy Lee, one thing you guys don't know is that because a lot of people reach out to me for that, like what you're giving to the world, people reach out to me for it. But I don't consider myself doing it yet because I don't have those social platforms set up to give it to the masses. So I've been sending people to your page. I'm like, here, I got a friend named Jimmy Lee. Go to his page. He's a lot of great content. It'll keep you positive, keep you going. And I don't even tell you that I do that.
Yeah.
I sent my sister to your page, like these other young guys. I'm like, I just don't have time, bro. But like, if you're serious about getting some positive in your life, check out Jimmy Lee's page. Mm-hmm. Now, whether they have or not, I don't know. And then Jay-Z said this to me. He said he had to become a millionaire before anyone in his family bought a record.
That's interesting.
Wow.
That's very interesting. And then the last thing is this, man. The thing about you guys is that, like, for you, all you guys that got families, man. So, like, if you're a business owner and you're like, okay, like right now you guys are doing your podcast, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's watching the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So don't forget that. And then, like, Just take a day and be like this. Like, you know what? I got the kids today. And be like, what? Yeah, I got the kids. Here, take the keys, take the car, take the wallet. I got the kids. Do that, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you. It's clutch.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a game changer. So, I mean, we got advice for everybody over here, right? Yeah, we got advice for the entrepreneur father, the go-getter, small business owner. You put it all together, the Rotated Views podcast, specifically episode number 37. We're showing people how to really keep it moving. All right, so.
Man, thank you guys so much, man. This has been great, really great. I appreciate your time, man.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to close the episode number 37, keeping it moving, with two quotes, one by Yoko Ono and Zig Ziglar. First by Yoko Ono, DJs are an incredible competition musically, and they are the most musically creative and sensitive people in all music charts. I am amazed how they are. That says a lot, actually. Wow. That was,
thank you. Wow.
And then Zig Ziglar, may his soul rest in peace. I love Zig Ziglar, man.
Yeah,
honesty and integrity are by far the most important assets of an entrepreneur.
Yes.
This guy, between Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, I mean, these guys are constantly dropping bombs. So, all right. So, Quentin, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate that. That was fantastic time we had today on episode number 37. Now, you say that you're in Virginia. Most of your gigs are out in DC area, but we know that you're mobile. So how can people reach you? How can they book you? How can they connect with you to get more information about, you know, DJ Quentin Floyd?
Wow. Well, I'm absolutely crazy, man. So let's just do this. All right. So first of all, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I go by Floyd the DJ, right? So that's my DJ name, Floyd the DJ. It's a little flip. So just, you know, look there. I do have a website. They're just not launched yet. I got some more pictures and fonts to go through to fix. And I'm going to launch those here. I'm going to launch those on those social media sites so you can find out what I'm going to name it, you know, on the front side of the house. And then besides that, man, whoever wants can give me a call, you know, 301-801-9756.
Nice.
You know, take a message, we'll call you back. And then the last thing, for national shows coming up, anything national, I'm going down to Orlando to rock out for the Orlando Magic next month, and then in March I'm coming to Ohio to rock out for the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic in Columbus.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
So those are the two things, man. I'm so blessed to have those two events. And I've been, you know, practicing for that type of stuff. But just social media, man, I'm always over there running my mouth. So that's where my spot is. You can find me at.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Whenever you're in Philly, hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, man. We
yeah, man. Down, you know, man. You know what? I don't think you guys knew, but I had a cousin that played for the Eagles, man, a couple of years back.
Oh, wow.
Really?
He looks like Dawkins,
it wasn't DeSean Jackson, was it? Because we're trying to get him back. Because he isn't.
No, you guys called him alligator arms. You guys were so mean to my cousin, man. Yeah. Todd Pinkston, man.
Todd Pinkston. Yes.
Wow. Yes,
Todd Pinkston. Pinkston wow, that's Stinkson. Classic.
Pinkston. Yeah. Remember, like, when he was trying to catch the ball and then, like, he grew up?
Yep. Bring him back down.
But, yeah, next time I'm in Philly, man, I think I may be up there before I go to Ohio in March. I would Jimmy Lee, I'll let you know, and man, you know, let all the guys know, man, from Heck to Manny, to Goose, man, I would love to just come hang out with you guys for a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, good, man. For sure. All right, so there you have it, folks. Keep it moving. In this episode, we have guest father and Floyd the DJ. We discuss business endeavors, the definition of success, tips for people operating or interested in small business, entrepreneur fathers, and advice for the go-getter. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Yoko Ono and Zig Ziglar. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.